Right. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Contemplative Sunday, Liminal Church. It's good to see so many of you here as we get started. If this is your first time at one of these services, just as a heads up, know that every month on the last Sunday, we take a break from the usual churchy things. Like singing and preaching, and instead take time to slow down, to reflect on our lives, to be still, and listen for that still small voice of the Spirit of God within. One quick housekeeping thing as we get started. I printed off handouts with some readings that we'll be going through. If you did not see that or did not grab one, on your way in, raise your hand, and Kevin or Becky can get you a copy. That will be pretty important to have because I don't have all the readings up on the slide, so it will behoove you to have that to follow along. Thank you, Kevin. Oh, we got a few more. Perfect. So this may seem like a strange way to begin this morning, but I'd actually like to invite you to start our time together this morning from a place of chaos, of unraveling. Feel free to listen, or you can follow along with the first excerpt in your handout from the Second Coming. As we begin, turning and turning, you can go to the next slide, Jared. Turning and turning in the widening gyre, the falcon cannot hear the falconer. Things fall apart, the center cannot hold, mere anarchy is loosed upon the world. The blood-dimmed tide is loosed, and everywhere the ceremony of innocence is drowned. The best lack all conviction, while the worst are full of passionate intensity. These words from the Second Coming by William Butler Yeats have been haunting me lately. We're living in a disruptive time, I think that's safe enough to say. And it's scary, this sense of anarchy being loosed upon the world, of innocence drowned, a lack of conviction among the best, passionate intensity among the worst. And the truth is, I'm afraid, and I'm angry. I feel unsettled, off balance. And the question I've been asking myself and wrestling with lately is, okay, how do I find some semblance of peace, some grounding in troubled, uncertain times? I remember in the early days of COVID, share a little bit from my story, I ran across an excerpt of a poem by T.S. Eliot. And there was this line in there that said, "Wait without hope." And in that moment, there was something, you can go to the next slide, Jared, something about that line that rang with a much-needed truth. I'd been holding this feeling, this anxiety that I wasn't even fully aware of. And poetry, this line, "Wait without hope," offered me language that helped me get in touch with what a lot of us collectively were facing and experiencing. And so lately, I've found myself turning to poetry once again, to to weather these disruptive days. And in our time together this morning, I would like to offer some words that, I don't know, I hope will give some language in some form to whatever lament and confusion you may be experiencing right now, while also offering some measure of solace and peace. So I've selected a series of poems or excerpts and have juxtaposed them with three parts of a biblical poem from the Psalm, Psalm 42, that we'll be reading this morning. Now, I know that connecting with poetry does not come naturally to everyone, but as we move through these pieces, my invitation to you is to remain open and receptive. Don't try to logically unpack the words. Simply let them happen to you. Pay attention to what comes up. In between readings, we'll have time to reflect and revisit the words. I'll have questions to prompt reflection. But please, please let this time be whatever your soul needs, whether that's prayer, meditation, or empty silence. All right. I invite you all to take a deep, mindful breath in. Put your feet on the floor. Feel the earth beneath your feet, the chair beneath your body supporting you. And be still. Take another breath. Breathe in deep, deep down into your belly. And breathe out slow and steady. One more time. Let's begin with the words of the psalmist. As a deer pants for flowing streams, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul. How I would go with the throng and lead them in procession to the house of God with glad shouts and songs of praise, a multitude-keeping festival. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Why are you cast down, O soul? Consider what plagues you, what burdens you, what keeps you up at night. Whatever it is, don't try to expel it or force it out. At least not yet. Take a minute to make space for it. Thank you. in light of what has left your soul feeling cast down right now, I'd invite you to receive these words from David White in his poem, Winter Grief. This will be our first reading. Let the rest in this rested place rest for you. Let the birds sing quietly and the geese call from far off, and let the sky race from west to east when you cannot lift a wing to fly. Let evening trace your loss in the branches against a fading sky so that you can give up and give in and be given back to, so that you can let winter come and live fully inside you, so that you can retrace the loving path of heartbreak that brought you here, so you can cry alone and be alone, so you can let yourself alone to be lost, so you can let yourself not know what not knowing means, so that you can be even more generous in your letting go than they were in their leaving, so that you can let winter be winter, so that you can let the world alone to think of spring. We're going to take a time of extended silence here, and as we do, I'd like you to consider these questions as you reflect on this poem. Here we see an invitation to let winter come and live fully inside you. Are there any ways that winter, this season we're in, reflects an inner state that you may be experiencing right now? Is there any sense in which your heart needs to surrender to a season of winter? This poem also speaks of giving yourself permission to not know what not knowing means. Do you find yourself resisting the experience of not knowing? Is that threatening or frightening in any way? And if you have time, read the poem again. See if there's a line in there that rings especially true, that feels resonant with your soul today. Let's continue this journey through the loss and disorientation with the psalmist. Psalm 42 continues. My soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I remember you from the land of Jordan and of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep at the roar of your waterfalls. All your breakers and your waves have gone over me. By day, the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. Take a moment to reflect on the profound juxtaposition here. The psalmist seems to connect the experience of oppression and disruption to an encounter with the Lord. All your breakers and waves have gone over me. And yet, within the storm, the voice of love somehow breaks through. By day, the Lord commands his steadfast love, and at night, even in the darkness, the melody of love surrounds us. I love this imagery of God's love as a song in the night, all around and running through each one of us. The night can be a scary time, anxiety-inducing, seeming to blind our sight. But it can also be a place where peace breaks through in profound ways that run deeper even than speech or human comfort. Receive this reflection from Wendell Berry in his poem, The Peace of Wild Things. And return to your handout. When despair for the world grows in me, and I wake in the night at the least sound, in fear of what my life and my children's lives may be, I go and lie down where the wood drake rests in his beauty on the water and the great heron feeds. I come into the peace of wild things who do not tax their lives with forethought of grief. I come into the presence of still water and I feel above me the day-blind stars waiting with their light. For a time, I rest in the grace of the world and am free. Consider these questions as you reflect on Barry's words. This poem speaks of receiving comfort from wild things, the wood drake and the heron, and from the deep and vast bodies of creation. So in this time, how might you welcome the Christ in creation to meet you in your worry and despair? And as Jesus reminds us, the birds and flowers do not worry about what will become of their life. They reflect the beauty and goodness of God simply by existing. And in this, the world itself offers us grace. So what might it look like to tune into this grace and open ourselves to receiving it with greater depth and fullness? And if you feel led, of course, read the poem again and see if there's another line, something in there that especially rings true, that speaks to you right now. in our psalm, even, interestingly, even after this experience of love, it continues to descend as it concludes. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a deadly wound in my bones, my adversaries taunt me, while they say to me all the day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? In reading this, I wonder if there might be a lesson for us here. By many accounts, oppression appears to be on the rise around the world. The ways of God, acting justly, loving mercy, walking humbly, are mocked and ridiculed amid the culture wars in our present political climate. And amid the upheaval, we remain in liminality, in the in-between. So take a moment to let this experience of in-betweenness, this lament, seep into your heart. Why have you forgotten me? Why have you forgotten us? I don't know that there's ever really a good answer to that question when we put it to God directly. But these moments where we inhabit the in-between, as it were, do offer us an opportunity to wrestle with the divine. And they offer us an opportunity to humble ourselves and to pray. In our last time of reflection, we'll consider this excerpt from the end of T.S. Eliot's poem, Ash Wednesday, which I think is maybe fitting with the timing, with the season of Lent approaching. Lent will begin in a week and a half. Consider this a little early taster, as it were. This is from Ash Wednesday. This is the time of tension between dying and birth. The place of solitude where three dreams cross beneath blue rocks. But when the voices shaken from the yew tree drift away, let the other yew be shaken in reply. Blessed sister, Holy Mother, Spirit of the fountain, Spirit of the garden, suffer us not to mock ourselves with falsehood. Teach us to care and not to care. Teach us to sit still, even among these rocks. Our peace in His will. And even among these rocks, sister, mother, and spirit of the river, spirit of the sea, suffer me not to be separated. And let my cry come unto thee. Here are some questions to consider as you reflect on these words from Ash Wednesday. This prayer of a poem, and it really is a prayer at this point, calls on God to take us into a paradox. Teach us to care and not to care. So where do you feel the good, God-given desire to care? And where do you feel the good, Spirit-led freedom to not care? Reflect on what your experience of sitting still has been like this morning. What remains rocky for you in this practice of seeking stillness? And then finally, is there anything you fear or perhaps obsess over right now that is out of control? Is this something that you can release to God, at least for the time being? Those of you who are might be familiar with Psalm 42, you may have noticed I left out a very important part of the psalm from the portions we read. Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. I shall again praise him. Notice how this is stated in the future tense as a declaration of faith. I shall again, I will return to that place of praise. I wanted to save this part of the psalm to the end, I guess to avoid pressuring anyone to move into a space of praise too quickly or at all. It feels kind of weird to say this in church on a Sunday morning, but you don't have to praise God right now if you're not in a space for that. It's okay. Now that said, I do hope that you leave with a flicker of hope kindled in your heart. I do hope you don't give up on the possibility of arriving at that place of praise, that place of flourishing, of shalom someday. Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. The time for praise will come, but you may need to let winter come and live inside you for a while first. With that, we'll move into our time of communion if the ushers want to come up. So here at Liminal, in this sacrament, all are invited and welcome at the table. So in a moment, whenever you're ready, please walk up one of these two aisles here. You can take a cracker, which is gluten-free, or if you like gluten, there's bread there as well. The usher will pour the alcohol-free juice into the cup, and you can use the outer aisles on the very edges to circle back around and return to your seat. In your own time, when you're ready, after you've received the bread and the cup, you're free to partake of those, to eat and drink in your own time, whenever you're ready. After the service, please leave your cup over at the coffee bar. And then lastly, if it's difficult for you to walk up, please raise your hand and myself or an usher will bring communion to you. And then Joyce is reminding me, thank you, that if you feel a need or desire for prayer, to have someone pray with you or over you, if there's something that got stirred up that you'd like to share, to open up about, to seek to be ministered to, that will be available in the back there. So please don't be shy. In one of his final words to his disciples, Jesus said, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world." You will have trouble. As we partake in this sacrament, these words remind me that this cup and juice are not some sort of special magic talisman that will dispel our pain and difficulties. It's not what this is about. But they are, in some mysterious yet also very grounding, very tactile embodied way, a token of the loving union that we have with God and with each other. And no matter how far we stray or how much hardship we face, we're never out of love's reach. That song in the night is always with us. So as you take this bread and juice, as you partake in this body and blood of union, my friends, take heart. Troubles will come. Eventually, troubles will go. But love endures. that concludes our service this morning. Thank you for being here. For those of you who don't like poetry, thank you for indulging me. You're welcome to keep those handouts, to take those with you for further reference and reflection. Again, as a reminder, if you would like prayer after the service, Joyce will be in the back. And one thing we like to do after these services are over is to maintain this contemplative space, this quiet here in the, is this a sanctuary, main room? Yeah. So if you want to talk, catch up, please take that out to the foyer. If you'd like to remain, if you need more time to sit in silence in this space, you're welcome to linger here for a little while. Grace and peace to you. Be well.